Regular agenda, item 288, authorize a contract with Black & Veatch Corporation for a water quality corrosion study in the amount of $240,000.
Second reading, roll call.
Fritz.
Aye.
Salzman.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye. 289.
289, assess benefited properties for street, sidewalk, and stormwater improvements in the Southeast 82nd Avenue of Roses and Bybee Boulevard Local Improvement District.
Commissioner Novick.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This LID is in the Brentwood-Darlington neighborhood in an area that has been underserved by pedestrian infrastructure, despite being adjacent to Southeast 82nd Avenue, which has the heaviest bus line ridership in the TriMet system. And we're joined today by PBOT's LID Administrator, Andrew Abbey, who will give Council a brief presentation and answer any questions you may have.
Okay. Good Andrew. Morning.
Thank you, Commissioner Novick. I'm Andrew Abbey, Local Improvement District Administrator, and I was asked to do a brief presentation on some new sidewalks that we built. So this is where the sidewalks were built, just north of Flavelle and south of Duke on Southeast 82nd Avenue, part of the city that we don't often hear about. This is in the Brentwood-Darlington neighborhood. Just to give you a little bit of background on this project, there was a building permit for a development in the area that was due to expire in the waning days of 2010, and the property owners approached me, I think it was about Christmas Eve 2010, and within a week we had an LID petition signed by them, and they preserved their building permit. So I think it was the fastest LID that we've ever put together. This is a close-up view of where we built the sidewalks on Southeast Bybee Boulevard and 82nd Avenue, close to some schools, and TriMet operates its most frequent and heavily used bus line on 82nd Avenue, and we had no sidewalks there. So this is what the streetscape looked like before we started the project. Not a very attractive area, but this is what it looked like as we were wrapping up construction before we put in street trees. And there's a new dental practice that has just located in this area to the left of where the new sidewalks are. And we hope that this is the start of a little bit of revitalization on the southern part of 82nd Avenue. So I was happy to share that with you this morning. We did not receive any objections to final assessment, and the LID costs are 40% below the amount estimated at LID formation. And I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
40% below, huh? Wow. No wonder there's no one here to testify.
Well, my staff had thought that one of the property owners was not happy. Is that a mix-up?
There is one property owner that owned two of the three parcels, and there's another new property owner that owns the third parcel. And I've been in contact with her for the past year. She has alleged that she was not given notification of the amount of the LID. I would point out that when we form an LID, we post notices in the LID area. We mail notices to all legal property owners of record. And we also create pending lien records, so anybody doing a title search can see the amount of the eventual LID assessment. So I'm a little hard-pressed to understand why somebody wouldn't have notice of, you know, what the amount is. But I do understand that it's, even though it's 40% low, it's still a significant obligation. However, I'd also note that her obligation is a little under $50,000 of the roughly $266,000, so she has a pretty small share of the LID. And the overall LID at $266,000 is significantly less than just under $500,000 that we estimated at LID formation. So,
and will she be able to finance her portion?
Absolutely. And one of the reasons why we brought this to council today is that we're planning to do a bond sale in a few weeks, and I wanted to give her and the other property owner an opportunity to finance at the lowest possible interest rate. So my hope is that they not only get the benefit of the 40% saving, but also get the benefit of lower interest rates than our interim interest rate. So we estimated interim interest rates at 6.75%. When we formed the LID, it's now down to 5.5%. And if they take advantage of the bond sale, it may be even lower than that. So when you combine the project cost savings with the financing savings, there could be a considerably lower monthly payment than what they were budgeting for at LID formation.
And that property owner hasn't submitted a formal objection?
Correct. The deadline was a week ago Wednesday. We sent the notice to her address in Salem, and she contacted me I believe it was yesterday or Monday, I forget which, and I explained the process and that she was too late to submit an objection, but if she wanted to appear here in council, she could. She did seem particularly interested in the financing option, so if we were to delay this hearing for whatever reason, then it would make it less likely that they would be able to take advantage of the bond sale. And I communicated that information to her as well.
Is this an emergency ordinance?
It is not an emergency ordinance.
Would it be helpful if we added an emergency clause to get it in the bond
sale? I'm sorry, Commissioner, I didn't hear you.
Would it be helpful to get, add an emergency clause to get it into the bond sale?
I don't know that that is necessary. We have baked in the financing cost as if it was going to be assessed in a week. I've been in contact with both property owners about the deadline. I think they're expecting the financing contracts after the council adopts the ordinance next week. So I don't believe that's necessary, but certainly if council wants to do that, you have that prerogative.
Seems like there's no reason not to do it.
Why don't we err on the side of... See if there, yeah, we'll take a hearing first, but
there's no reason not to.
Okay, just want to check. There is no one here to testify in this, right? Okay.
Correct.
If you would like to add an emergency clause, I might just suggest the language along the lines of the council declares an emergency exists to maximize the chances that the property owners can take advantage of the upcoming bond sale or something to that effect. So.
Okay. Is that in the form of a motion?
I would say yes, but I noticed my chief of staff is consulting with the city attorney, so perhaps we want to know the result of that consultation.
Oh, doesn't matter.
Okay.
All right. Didn't know that.
It could be voted on today, but that's up to you.
But if it's on the consent calendar next week, it's
it would take effect immediately.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Good enough.
And I added bonus to the emergency clause. You don't have to see me in the council chamber next week. But
well, that would save your time then.
You don't need to be here. Not if you got it.
I don't think we need you here next week anyway.
Okay.
Okay.
So thank you.
Moves to second reading.
I had a question of maybe Andrew, maybe other members of the council know this answer, but. So when, you know, we just put some sidewalks on Southeast 136th Avenue, which I believe was not an LID.
Correct.
And this the sidewalks on 82nd that is an LID. I guess when, what determines when sidewalks are done by us versus by the property owners through an LID? What are the criteria, or is it just the council makes the determination, or the commissioner in charge makes a determination, or?
Very good question, Commissioner. You may also recall that PBOT has built a variety of sidewalks up and down 82nd. For example, we built some on Northeast 82nd, fairly close to the airport. So as you well know, that on arterials, we have an extreme need for sidewalks. So we occasionally are in a position to get funding to go ahead and build those. My understanding, the Southeast 136th Avenue project is not my project, but my understanding that those sidewalks are being built with general transportation revenue. I think a lot of this, quite frankly, has to do with timing. So when development comes in the door, we try to ensure that the proper infrastructure gets built. And I have to tell you that, you know, you saw those before pictures. I can't imagine anybody wanting to locate their dental practice with shopping carts and no sidewalks and the like in front of there. So I think even the property owners, even though they were required to build sidewalks, understood that for business reasons, they really needed a sidewalk. At the time, we didn't have any funding to do sidewalks on that portion of 82nd, although I believe the next block down, there were some sidewalks built not too terribly recently. So I think a lot of it is just timing, that when development comes in the door, we try to get those sidewalks built at the time. And in this case, they were just nothing in the works. But it's also possible that if this development had not occurred, that at some point PBOT might have tried to put together a project to build sidewalks on 82nd. So,
Commissioner Salzma, we put those sidewalks on 136 into the 12-13 budget under Mayor Adams. So I believe it was one of the priorities of the Eastport Lund Action Plan. So as money is available and PBOT makes that request in the budget, that's when we decide that we're going to do it, right?
Yes. I mean, Commissioner, I mean, generally, I mean, as you know, some of the investments we've made on 136, they're due to getting state money specifically for that purpose at the behest of Representative Fagan. We have made investments in East Portland, particularly over the past few years, based on the community engagement process that resulted in the East Portland in Motion series of projects. And we also put some money into sidewalks in Southwest based on Mayor Adams and you decided to make some such investments and I think something of a similar community prioritization process. And that's always going to be a series of judgment calls with community involvement as to where it's appropriate for the city to make investments, where we would expect that if there is an investment made, it would be by an LID. And another thing that we are talking about is, should we sort of create a pot of money to have sort of matching funds for potential LIDs in areas where we don't quite see the justification for the city to make the whole investment, but we can understand that it's an important project and the residents might not have enough money to do it all themselves.
Thank you.
And just for the record, the new sidewalk on Southwest Huber, which allows the children from the Title I school at Markham Elementary to walk all the way to Jackson Middle School on a sidewalk, is absolutely fantastic.
Andrew, thank you very much.
Thank you.
So this this rolls to second reading next week. And we have three more items. I think they're all previous agenda items.
We never actually had the hearings, though.
Is it three?
Item 290. Is next?
Well, the two are administrative rules, and yeah.
290. Repeal TRN 8.05, 8.07, and 10.01 for inclusion in TRN 8.08, encroachments in the public right-of-way, administrative rules.
Colleagues, this package of two ordinances updates Portland's administrative rules with respect to encroachments in the public right-of-way, including streets, sidewalks, and curbs. We generally dedicate rights of way to the movement of vehicles and pedestrians, but the city's transportation policy allows for some privately owned structures to be located in the right of way. These structures are called encroachments, which can include fences, garbage receptacles, bike racks, signs, planter beds, many other types of structures located above street level, at street level, and below street level. The city adopted an encroachments policy in June 1982. That policy mainly focused on sky bridges and other encroachments located above the street level, with not much guidance or criteria for encroachments located at street level. To develop a comprehensive encroachments policy, the Bureau of Transportation established a work group, conducted outreach to internal and external stakeholders through a rural development process. This public process led to the rule before us today, which consolidates policies and procedures in a single place. We are going to have an amendment that Commissioner Fritz and I have discussed, which I'd like to distribute after Mr. Krueger has provided some additional detail.
Commissioner, I think that's the amendment to this next ordinance, so maybe...
Oh, that's right. That's amendment to 291. That's right. So, actually, yeah, could we have both titles read?
Certainly. 291, adopt TRN 8.08, encroachments in the public right-of-way administrative rules.
Thank you.
Good morning, Council. Kurt Krueger with the Portland Bureau of Transportation. Portland Bureau of Transportation. This is a two-step exercise. We were here before you in January. Renaming, as Commissioner Novick mentioned, the major encroachment document that dealt with the larger structures, such as sky structures and major building encroachments. What we have here before you today is a much smaller item of day-to-day administrative encroachments that we see coming across our desk on a weekly basis. This consolidates a bunch of rules that have been in place, but not consolidated into an actual document and an administrative rule. So that's what this exercise is here for today. I did want to recognize the advisory committee that was involved with this a few years ago. We had Andre Baugh from the Portland Sustainability Commission and Ann Niles, who is no longer with us today, from the Pearl District. I really appreciated all of her help going into this exercise, and she was a very valuable asset, and I wanted to recognize her publicly for that.
Questions?
Kirk, do you mind just sort of explaining, maybe identifying some of the policies that are included in the new rule?
Certainly. Probably what we see more often than not are retaining walls and fences that people inadvertently build behind the sidewalk, thinking that's in private property where indeed it's actually public right of way. That's probably 90% of these. This also guides us in how we work with TriMet to locate transit shelters, garbage receptacles. It mentions the International Building Code, which is the rules BDS uses, and so when there's encroachments built in the right of way, it references that document. It talks about minor things such as planter boxes. And then there's policies that are not fully developed yet, such as electrical vehicle charging stations. It's a fairly new item for us. We haven't developed a policy, but this talks about where we'd go to work on that. So this is not a significant policy document. It's really the day-to-day kind of mundane encroachments that we see pretty much daily.
Okay. And you want to talk about the amendment?
Yes. So this would be an amendment to items B and C under council direction. Commissioner Fritz and I discussed this and agreed to add the language in italics. In item B, it would now say, City Council authorizes the Director of the Bureau of Transportation to make further adjustments to TRN 8.08 pursuant to inconsistent with existing rulemaking authority delegated to the director as needed. And then the new language would be, and after prior notification to each council office. And then the old language is to facilitate clarifications, modifications, or additions to ensure good stewardship of the public right-of-way. And then adding item C, the director of the Bureau of Transportation will report annually to council offices summarizing adjustments, if any, to TRN 8.08 made during the past year.
And the reason for this, I assume, is so other bureaus like BDS and Parks that may have activities in the right-of-way know what's changed in the rules, right?
No, not exactly. It's okay. So because what this amendment is doing, and I'm going to support it, it's making clearer what transportation gets to do and the director of transportation and the commissioner in charge of transportation gets to do without coming back to council for a policy decision. Mm-hmm. But there's several, you know, the right-of-way is the public right-of-way, and the council and citizens have concerns about how it is used. One example is the Ankeny Street closure, where that came to council for a temporary pilot and is now kind of an extended temporary or permanent pilot. Another is the use of parking meter spaces for restaurant tables that seems to me that should have been a policy decision that came to council rather than something that the commissioner in charge, then Mayor Adams, got to decide by himself. So it's the purpose of the notification to council is for council members on into the future to be able to then have a discussion with the commissioner in charge about, you know what, perhaps this is a major policy discussion, and would you please bring this to council for a wider review?
Exactly.
Understood. All right. So then, do we have any? We don't have anyone signed up to testify on these.
Are you moving that amendment?
Yes,
and I second it.
Okay. So let's take action on the amendment, and then we'll take any testimony. So any further discussion about the amendment?
I have several more questions for.
Okay. Well, let's put the amendment on the table, though. So anyone, and ready to do that? Let's take a roll call on adding the amendment.
Fritz,
aye.
Salzman,
aye.
Novick,
aye.
Hales,
aye. Okay, and now other questions, comments?
So I very much appreciate Commissioner Novick and Kurt Kruger working with my Chief of Staff, Tom Bazo, and me to puzzle through this. Because we're talking about maintaining the good stewardship of the public right-of-way, and this is now improved. This is a very wonky item. Just the mere reading of the title of it probably made many folks' heads spin, but it is available online, and people will be able to go and see what are the rules for this, planter boxes or whatever. So it's greatly improved, and thanks to the Citizen Committee who worked on it also. So could you just review again for us, Kurt, so that more folks understand? Everything at grade seems to be minor because of the change that we made in January. So what would be a major encroachment? Do we have a definition of that?
Commissioner, just to clarify, we didn't want to purposely use the word minor.
Okay.
In the eye of the beholder, minor may be very different for others. So
okay.
That's why we distinctly called the major stuff the sky structures. Building area that, say a sky rise comes into downtown, and they want to rent out some of the space that they built into the public right of way, and they go through design commission. This is our ability to approve a major encroachment to allow a portion of a building to actually be built into the right of way. For example, the Park Avenue West Tower that's under construction again, they've got a parking structure that's six stories deep. They have a tunnel that crosses the right of way. There's a private benefit for the use of that, so we approve that through a major encroachment.
Okay, thank you. So I mentioned about the permanent street closures. Is that in policy anywhere?
That is not in policy. It's actually not an encroachment. It's actually a closure by the city engineer. That one's a little different and a little bit of a one-off than an encroachment.
So would another either temporary permits are given for street parties and such, but a pilot project like the Ankeny Street closure, would that need to come back to council?
I believe the city engineer or the city traffic engineer has the ability to close a street without taking a council action. That would not require us to come to council.
I think the police chief does too, actually.
But permanently?
Not the chief, not permanently. Yeah.
That seems to be an issue that it might be helpful to have a policy on so that people are clear as to when their request might be granted and when not. It's just saying that. And also, does it say anywhere about rental of the right-of-way, like, for instance, the restaurant parking meter space tables?
It doesn't, and I'm not an expert on our leasing policy. Our right-of-way manager could provide more information, but they have actually... council has actually granted authority to PBOT's right-of-way section to actually enter into leases outside of a council forum for the use of it. And we've got nonprofit rates for uses that benefit a nonprofit, but we have a process in place to collect revenue for the use of the right-of-way.
Okay, but for especially use of parking spaces that are no longer parking spaces, it seems like with all the challenges we heard on Division Street in particular with on-street parking, that might be something that would be helpful to have a council discussion on and a policy written.
And Commissioner, as we discussed before, I mean, that's an initiative that, as the Bureau has described to me, falls even short of being a pilot project at this point. It's something I have questions about myself, so we're going to undertake a review of it and report back to you, maybe not formally, but individually, as the result of that review.
Well, I appreciate you saying that on the record because that made me more comfortable with the ordinances, knowing that that's your direction. And then I guess my final question is about consolidated newspaper boxes. Is that going to be in the administrative rules?
The newspaper boxes, I believe other staff in PBOT are working with city attorneys because there's First Amendment freedom of speech issues related to the placement of those materials in the right-of-way. I would assume when that process and discussion unfolds into actual policy, we would amend this document to describe to us how we place that, and we would circulate that amendment to the council offices prior to putting it in effect.
Okay, thank you very much.
And this may be a wonky subject, but actually I think the document that the Bureau prepared with illustrations is actually pretty user-friendly.
So yes.
Well done. Other questions for Kurt? All right, thanks very much. And again, we have no one signed up to testify on either of these items, right?
I did not have a sheet out.
Okay. And because it's previous agenda, we get to act on them now, is that right?
No, because we didn't have a hearing before. So they were just rolled over.
So they rolled a second reading next week, is that right?
Okay.
So items 290 and 291 fall to second reading next week. And then we have one more, 292.
Item 292, authorize intergovernmental agreement with Portland State University for traffic safety research, evaluation, and communications.
Colleagues, for more than 10 years, PBOT has worked with PSU to effectively evaluate traffic safety in a wide range of projects and initiatives throughout the city. The current IGA has expired, and both PBOT and PSU would like to continue this relationship. This ordinance would allow PBOT to continue the partnership it has with PSU and utilize their expertise in traffic safety research, evaluation, and communication. I believe Scott Cohen of PBOT is here with us today to answer any questions council might have.
Good morning.
Morning. Scott Cohen. I'm with the Portland Bureau of Transportation.
So questions for Scott on this program?
Mr. Cohen, could you just give us some examples of ways in which we've been able to use PSU's expertise?
Sure. Yeah. We've developed a comprehensive Safe Routes to School evaluation program where we were able to contact hundreds of parents to learn about how their students get to, or their children get to school, and what the barriers their children are facing in accessing schools. So that helped us build our Safe Routes program and where we are going to be able to focus resources. And then we've been able to take that research that PSU provided and continue to do the research in-house. We've also been able to evaluate facilities in the transportation system to see if they're performing as expected, particularly for innovative new facilities, things that are different, and we want to make sure that they're working well before we expand them elsewhere.
And this contract sort of on an as-needed basis, right? You know, something comes up that we think that we benefit from their expertise, or the federal government requires us to have some sort of evaluation, and we call them PSU.
That's right, yeah. That was one of the examples before.
So how much have we spent on this contract over the past 2 years?
Over the past 2 years? I think over the last agreement, over the entire agreement, was about $200,000.
Okay. And do we have a project coming up?
Not that I'm aware of. It expired in July of 2013.
And as I understand it, the contracts that don't exceed $100,000 don't have to come back to council. Is that correct?
That's right, yeah.
And why was that number picked?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I could find out. I have a feeling that might be just what was in the IGA of the past, and we stuck with that for this current IGA.
Just, you know, knowing how strapped our transportation dollars are, that seems like a high number to me, that I would want to know if there was a $75,000 contract, and besides which I think sometimes these things like that, say, Frats to School that you just mentioned, that's a really good thing for the public to know about and to know that that's how transportation dollars are being spent. So I'm wondering if we could reduce the by right amount.
I'd be hesitant to reduce our flexibility to take advantage of PSU's expertise. I mean, it's not in the context of, I mean, you're right, transportation dollars are limited, but I think that when it's appropriate for us to rely on research to ensure we're spending our transportation dollars, you know, reasonably. And I don't think, I mean, what dollar amount would you suggest, Commissioner?
I was thinking more like $25,000.
Well, so we budget programmatically, right? And then if PBOT chooses to utilize this IGA to obtain services from PSU, they're given clearance to do that. That's why this is different than a contract that comes back again and again, or a contract that comes back as a one-off.
Right. I'm wondering how it compares, and I don't know. We have an agreement in parts that for certain amounts, and I don't know what that threshold is, I can look into it, they get to do it without my signature, never mind the council's agreement.
Mm-hmm.
It would be good to have a policy across the board for these kind of flexible spending accounts that over a certain threshold they would come back to council, at least for approval of the contract, so that we know what they are. Because I don't recall seeing a line item for this particular budget allocation in the PBOT budget in years past. You know,
yeah, I'd be interested to see how this was budgeted. I just don't remember. Yeah.
It's not from the general fund, right? Because it's
no,
only
it's,
streetlights
no.
are general fund.
Yeah.
Right.
It's GTR.
I think the total obligation shall not all work orders shan't exceed more than $500,000 during the duration of the agreement, and it's $100,000 per fiscal year limitation. I think that you have to have some flexibility to call in researchers to evaluate what you are doing or have done. And I don't think that, I mean, to me, it doesn't seem like an extreme amount of money to be able to allocate it on an as-need basis, on a yearly basis, to that purpose.
Yeah, I think it might be useful for us. I think you've raised a valid question, and that is to look at this practice across the bureaus, not just in PBOT, see what we're doing. This is a good way to highlight it.
Hi, Gabe Graff, Bureau of Transportation. I just wanted to say that in the case of the projects that we funded previously, the IGA gives us the ability to spend money on research. the funding for the research comes out of the project that's being evaluated. So in the case of the Safe Routes to School evaluation project, that comes out of our Safe Routes to School project budget.
Oh, that's helpful. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for clarifying.
Yeah, budget programmatically, and then you use this as a tool, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
So in the case of Safe Routes, we're federally mandated to do evaluation if we're using federal funds. So we take a chunk of the funding that we have that's locally available, spend it on the evaluation, get the federal funds.
That's why it doesn't show up as a line item, because it's in all kinds of line items.
Yeah.
And it depends. Right. Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Good. Other questions? Then is this also a previous item? It rolls to second reading next week as well? So it moves to second reading, and we are adjourned until next week. Thank you.